Now, one of the things you mentioned a few minutes ago was that you were no longer on staff. So, explain to me how you can go from being agreed to GM, president, whatever title that Hilton and you had discussed, to, as you just touched on, not being part of the common staff. What's happened to make that change?
Well, you might ask tough questions. After Carlene became the GM and coach, I stayed on with the help of the NBA team business office. They sent several consultants into town running the business side of the operation. I thought that was going to be the plan. One of the executive directors of the team business office, the senior, I should say, one of the senior representatives, Catherine McConnell, was in town, and unbeknownst to me, Hilton had been talking to her about seeing if the NBA could play a bigger role in the leadership of the team. So he called me in, and we talked about it and said, hey, these folks are here to help us. We have a short time frame, so we want you to work in concert, hand-in-hand with Catherine McConnell and some of the other consultants that were here. So I said, okay, Hilton. I said, as well, you know, let's not remember. Let's go back to Piccadilly Restaurant. I said, back in October of 06, I said, I remind you, when it comes down to the serious decision for this team, I want to make sure I still have an open-door policy to come directly to you. And he downplayed it at the time. Well, you know, that's not going to change. And you know, in a way we went, trying to take care of the business of selling season tickets, selling sponsorships, et cetera. You know, between, you know, February 1st and February 14th, I became ill on the 14th. Just from the hectic pace, at that point, I remember working at least close to 110 or so straight days without a break. And I was probably fatigued and stressed and ended up taking about a week off due to a hospital visit that I had that was over a blood clot issue. So the doctors laid me down, you know, out of concern for my health. My blood pressure was through the roof, and my parents forced me and pretty much took my cell phone in the emergency room, and they took good care of me and got me back up to speed. But during that week that I missed, when I came back to the office, complete with my walker, feeling quite like a senior citizen, I noticed that a lot of things had changed in the office. And number one was in terms of my staff and the folks that I knew. Reggie was trying to hire Paige Mann, for instance, who was basketball ops, was having problems in the office, just internal problems. And she had told me, I don't want to bother you. I know you're getting your health back together, but, you know, I haven't been paid yet. You know, and that was a warning sign to me. And I talked to Reggie, and I said, well, Reggie, when are you going to be leaving, when you're going to be coming on board? And he says, well, I was told that I had to interview for the job. So I said, okay, well, that's not what we talked about. So I noticed some inconsistent things. We had another great promotional person that came over from the previous Rockets, who I knew had been known since Compaq Center. And I knew she had been pretty much dismissed, that she wasn't going to be coming on board. And I really wasn't satisfied with that explanation as well. So, I went back and I talked to him. And I said, hey, well, what's going on? You know, in our media, you know, we felt that in order to start off with a team, we needed to have the best media. We had to put our best foot forward. So it's probably a poorly kept secret from your listeners, but I felt that yourself, you know, Chris Garner was the person who could give us the right. First of all, we needed you to serve as a consultant in terms of how we want to handle our whole media relations. But I know you can help us find the right folks that we needed to travel with the team, as well as to help guide our image in the press over those first months. Then I found out that, you know, I wouldn't have you as a resource, that we didn't think that was in the best interest of the team that Chris Gardner came on board. So, you know, that was a total shock. So I went through change after change that were totally that contradicted our initial business plan, marketing plan, as well as our organizational chart. So by the time the end of February came around, I really felt we had a dysfunctional organizational culture. You know, Carlene Thompson was not speaking when spoken to, not even hello, Daryl. She had hired her own staff. By that time, Paige had not received a paycheck in a couple months, and she stopped working, you know, just because she couldn't afford to work anymore and not being paid. We had our same season ticket sales staff. It was pretty much intact. April Sanders, who was a senior member in terms of longevity with the team, she was still running that department, but I noticed that she was starting to seem more and more frustrated that we weren't, you know, meeting the season ticket goals that Hilton had set forth, beginning with his goal to sell 2,000 season tickets the day of the press conference. So things were kind of chaotic, you know, during those times, but we worked through. I met with senior members at NBA who says, look, Daryl, you know, we know you're not going to be the GM, and Hilton has decided that he wants to use our consultant, Catherine McConnell, as the COO of the team. This was later explained to me also that, as anyone knows, the GM you really need to have a great relationship with your chief operating officer, especially in terms of budget. And I was told by Howard Jefferson, who's the president emeritus of the NAACP, he served as a consultant just on his own voluntarily with the team, and also as a mediator, and I was informed by him that it was Carlene Thompson that didn't want me as a COO after we had already decided that she would have the basketball side and report to Hilton, and I would have the business side and report to Hilton. So that's when senior members at NBA said, hey, Daryl, you know, we need you to stay with the team, but we want you to serve in a new position, either as VP of marketing or the preferred position that Hilton wanted as VP of corporate development, and help drive the sponsorship side of the team and raise money for the team. So this was quite a transition, and then I told them, I says, you know, well, that's a big step in several ways, from income all the way to authority. I was in a position where I was the one who replaced, not only, you know, drafted the acquisition, business and marketing plans for the team, but, you know, I was the one who had a turnover with Carol Dawson and Angry Young, and now I'm going from the lead chief executive of the team moving down to a vice president spot. And I asked Hilton what was the, you know, try to get an explanation for this. And he says, well, I decided that I wanted to be the president of the team. I says, well, Hilton, you're the owner of the team already, and you're the owner slash CEO. He says, well, I want to be the president too. So I says, well, you know, Hilton, that's pretty unprecedented that you would be the owner, president, and chief executive officer. That would definitely be a first in the NBA. But I knew that he was serious about that. So I told the NBA team business office folks at the time. I met with Scott O'Neill, who's a great leader, you know, in his own right. He's probably one of the top sports business executives in all of sports, NFL, Major League Baseball included, who works in New York for Mr. Stern. And he thought it was commendable that I would take this alternate position and try to do the best job with it. And I said, well, you know, at this point, Scott, I said, you know, I'll accept this, you know, and I'll go, you know, through the season. I said, and we'll make sure that we still stay on course to be to turn this thing around from a business point of view. So we had a handshake, and I said, well, let me go back in the Toyota Center in this new role and do the best job and try to rally the Houston business community. At this point, we knew we were at February 14th, so we knew we were looking at only, 60 days roughly before the start of the season. And we had to find a way to attract businesses who had never, some of which who never had been a part of a sports sponsorship is a common word for it, but to be a corporate partner with a team. So we knew we had to go and find new folks. And then from the previous year, the Comets were at the bottom of the league in terms of attracting sponsors. So that's one of the reasons Hilton wanted me working in that area, because of the context I have in Houston. But it was just so short of a time frame for us to try to pull a miracle off that we never really achieved our goals of where we needed to be. And we had set a goal as a team back in October of 06 to try to raise $1 million in corporate development partnerships for the Comets. But so officially on that date, the day before calling Thompson's press conference, that's when I officially took over the role of vice president of the team and focusing on corporate development. And that's the position I held through April 30th. On April 30th is when we had two more consultants show up from the NBA's office to play a heavier hand in running the day-to-day operations of the team. And that's when I was called in by Hilton and Catherine McConnell and told very, very briefly that from Hilton that he thought that he, if I remember the words correctly, that he wished it would have never had to come down to this. But at this point, just judging from the budgeting and financing of the team with regards to how much revenue we were getting in, that he no longer, require my services for the team as a VP. So I did a turnover that lasted pretty much the rest of that evening with the NBA team business office staff that was in town. And that next day on May 1st, I went from being a mentor to Hilton, consciously stated his press conference, to finding myself out of a job with no severance package and waiting to see what that final the final paycheck that I'm still waiting for is a matter of fact. But that was a tough period, especially I think that it was disappointing for me, but I'll never forget the look on my son and daughter's face when I told them, because that's what they were looking forward to the whole summer, was that their daddy was going to be, they had spent time with the team and for Christmas and spring break, so they were just weird to go for the summer. But all things happen for a reason. I am a person of faith, of great faith, and I knew that there must be a reason that that path was chosen for me. And since then, I've been doing scouting and watching very closely. I think I probably only missed about one game this year. My family's always been season ticket holders, so still been supporting the Comets and hope that we can get this thing turned around.